listening to the Pitch Vision My Cricket Coach Show, and you can find us at pitchvision.com. I'm David Hinchliffe in the UK.
And this is Kevin Sampath from Australia. Well, as we're winding down our season here in Australia, I'm sure people in the UK are getting ready for their season up ahead. Yeah. We're about to finish our last game coming up. What have you been up to, David?
Well, we've been enjoying some quite good weather here, so we're getting in the spring mood here, definitely. We're getting... there's talk of snow this week, but it's been very nice up until recently. So it's definitely feeling like spring at the moment. So that's really good news for us. So we're all getting very excited, and we're all really enthusiastic in the nets and all the rest of it.
How's your training going? Have you been improving? Have you been strengthening yourself, or what new things have you got planned?
I'm starting a new training program this week for the 6 weeks in the leading up to the start of the season here, so that should be interesting. But it's just really this time of year a matter of ticking over and putting the finishing touches on the work that you've been doing over the winter. So,
yeah,
training wise, it's ticking along quite nicely. You know, getting stronger, getting faster.
Yeah.
And getting ready for the start of the season. That's the real, you know, we've got a target. The target is within sight now, so looking forward to that.
Yeah. And Pitch Vision Academy is open. What's new on that, David?
Put some new stuff up this week to, you know, to keep things fresh and keep it going along. The main things are that I've started putting fitness plans up on the fitness coaching course by Rob Arman. Rob's providing me with some fitness plans, and we're gradually putting those up onto the fitness course.
Yeah.
So that's quite interesting. The one that's gone up this week is the beginner strength training program. So if there's any beginners out there and they're not sure about how to build up their strength and power for cricket specific training, then have a look at that. Sign up to the course and have a look at that. We put up loads more batting drills in Gary Palmer's drives course. So that's quite interesting. We've seen some good interest in that, and we've put up some more drills, especially for younger players, and also a bit more detailed explanation about alignment of the backswing, which is quite an interesting area, which is quite new and I've never really seen discussed before. So Gary's really sort of on the cutting edge there. We put up some more fielding drills in Derek Randall's fielding section. So if you're looking for fielding drills, which I know a lot of people who listen to this are, if you're looking for those, you can download those drills from Derek's course, or you can view them, and they're animated, so you can view them on the site and see how they work sort of in live action, if you like. And the last thing we're trialling at the moment is a personalised coaching report for people. So what you do there is you send in your video to us, and the video gets analysed, the technique gets analysed, and we give you some drills and suggestions for things to do to improve your technique. So that's sort of a personalised thing that we're trialling. So we're limiting that to only 4 people, just to see how that goes. So it's a bit like the case study that we've been running on My Cricket Coach, except for within Pitch Vision Academy, you get the personalised service, but you pay a little bit of money for it rather than the case studies, which is free in return for all the information being public. If you sign up for the coaching report, none of your information is made public. We just give you a report, and you can tell us how it's going. So that should be quite interesting. Don't know if that's going to work or not, but we're giving it a go this week to see what happens.
Right, cool. I'm sure it'll be a great success.
Hopefully.
I think it's time we get into the questions, David.
Yeah, no problem. Let's go for it.
Welcome to the Pitch Vision Micro Git Show question section. The first question is from Mr. Anonymous. And he said, "Hi, I've been getting out LBW very often this season. Can anyone give me some tips to overcome this, or any suggestion why it's happening? Thanks. Now, as soon as I read this question, David, I think of stands. What do you reckon?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's very hard to say because the amount of information that has been given to us there is virtually nothing. It's just I've been getting out OBW a lot. Well, it doesn't give us much to go on there. There's a lot of different ways you could be getting out of LBW. Are you getting LBW to spin bowlers, to swing bowlers, just to straight up and down medium pace? What's going on there? A bit more information would be good. Are you left-handed? Are you right-handed? The more information in these type of questions that you give, the more detailed an answer that we can give. So we can really only guess.
Yeah.
Anyway, at the best of times, we can really only guess unless we see them back. That said, stance is a good place to look at. Stance and trigger moves, because what you see a lot is players who either start quite closed off, i.e. they've got their the foot closest to the bowler in a closed position, or they've got the shoulders too far around, so it's closed off, or they move into that position too early as the bowler bowls the ball. So they have a trigger move, but they move forwards, and they move forwards and get closed off. Now, the problem with being closed off in either of those ways is that you can't swing your bat through the line of the ball anymore. If you're thinking of, say, a straight drive, as an example, if you get a straight half volley, if you've got your front foot planted in a closed-off position, then your pad is down the line of the ball. You can't hit the ball. You can either try and hit across the ball, i.e. around your pad, try and hit move the bat around the pad and hit across the line. But if you do that, then you're much less likely to hit the ball because you're hitting across it rather than through it. So, or you miss it and it hits you on the pad. And if it hits you on the pad and it's straight, the finger goes up.
So basically you wouldn't have time to react to the deviation of the ball.
Well, even if it's straight, your pad is down the line of the ball.
Yeah.
So even if it doesn't swing or spin or seam, you still have to hit across the line of the ball to hit it. So you end up either hitting it into the leg side, probably a bit bottom-handed, so you're probably hitting it in the air, and you might get out caught at mid-wicket or something like that, or you just miss it completely, hits you on the pad, you're out LBW, or you're even bowled. So, look at that first, I would say. Look at where your foot is when the ball is delivered. If your weight is a long way forward, your front heel is planted on the ground, then you can't make any adjustments. You're stuck down that line immediately. And if the ball's going down the line that your pad is down, then it's going to hit you on the pad. So maybe delay your initial movement or open your stance out a little bit. That would be the couple of things I would look at doing.
Yeah. And if you look at players like Ricky Ponting, David, he tends to get his front foot a little bit earlier than most players, but he has that mobility in his feet that he can adjust no matter what ball it is.
Yeah. I mean, he's got a trigger move where he goes back and across first and then his other foot adjusts with it. That's right, isn't it? Yeah. So when the ball is delivered, even though he's moved, when the ball is delivered, he's still, and he's just on the ball of his front foot ready to, so he can either make a bigger movement forward, or he can push forward onto his front foot, and then when his weight is on his front foot, he's got no weight on his back leg, so his back leg can go back and across again, and he can be in a perfect position to cut, pull, or drive off the back foot. What he doesn't do is he doesn't plant his foot down, so his heel is firmly on the ground, and he can't make any adjustments at all. So he's technically very good, Ricky Ponting. So yeah, if you want a model, then have a look at his position as the ball is delivered. Not necessarily the big trigger move, because it's unlikely you're going to need a trigger move unless you're facing very fast bowling.
Yeah.
And most people who play cricket don't face very fast bowling. It's only at the top level that you get the very quick bowling.
Yeah. And as you mentioned, batting on the balls of your feet is very important, as coach, really good coach, pointed out to me once. So yeah, definitely recommend trying that out.
Yeah. Yeah, and then when you make your move, when you do make your move to the ball, do make it strongly. I'm not saying you want to, you know, once you've decided to play the drive, that's when you make your big strong movement down the pitch and get all your weight forward and get the pad next to the line of the ball rather than along the line of the ball. But don't get suckered into moving too early and picking the wrong line.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to our next question from Brandon. Mm-hmm. And he says that, I've done the paralysis by analysis thing, and I've tried out many different techniques, backflips and trigger movements. You can take tips from pro cricketers, but I've tried copying their techniques too much. I'm struggling for runs and can no longer find my natural technique. Do you have a tips? David, I think that by the looks of things, he's thinking a bit too much into his batting. He's trying different things, trying to imitate different players and not really sticking to his natural game and not sticking to his instinct. What do you have to say about that?
Yeah, definitely. Cricket is a very unnatural game. So in many ways, when you say, you know, I don't know what my natural game is, what you're saying is that you haven't got any technique at all. You've tried perhaps to copy different techniques. They haven't worked and you've ended up without any technique at all. So it's not necessarily a matter of the natural game. When we're talking about technique, there isn't such a thing really as a natural technique because cricket is such an unnatural game. But you do have a natural approach to the game, a natural way of thinking about playing, and that's probably what we're talking about here. He's thought, okay, well, you know, we're just talking about Ricky Ponting. You know, I like the way that trigger move that Ricky Ponting's got. That's good. And I like the back lift that Brian Lara's got, so I'll take that. And he's taken, maybe trying to take bits of different players to solve problems, and he's not thinking anymore about technique anymore. He's thinking about copying what the best players are doing. And you can't do that because these players have developed their techniques over years and years, and they've honed them and honed them and honed them. And you can't just pick up. You can't just copy a player's technique and hope that you'll be able to play in the same way as them. So the two really things he needs to think about here. One is the actual technique itself, and two is his the mental side of it. So in terms of actual technique, you know, go back to basics. I'm sure we've all seen the coaching books. If you haven't seen the coaching books, then, you know, have a look at Gary Palmer's coaching advice on the Pitch Vision Academy, because the detail that he goes into on all the shots is excellent, and really that's the perfect model. If you want to copy something, copy that, because he gives the perfect model and he tells you the advantages and disadvantages of doing things in different ways. So yeah, just go back to that and don't worry too much about, you know, trigger moves and backlifts and, you know, all the rest of it. Just keep your head still, see the ball, hit the ball. You only really need to have two shots, certainly at sort of club cricket level. You only really need to have two shots which you know you can play most of the time, and that'll get you plenty of runs. There's lots of people out there who do that, you know, very experienced cricketers. They know they've only got a couple of shots, and they just play those shots and they don't bother with the rest of the shots because they know they can't play them, and that gets them loads of runs.
Mm-hmm.
So do that in terms of technique, you know, go back to the basics of what do I do well already, stick to those, and then maybe gradually build up the rest of the shots around them. And now in terms of the mental side of it, you know, again, he's probably overthinking, you know, where his foot should be, where his head should be, where the back lift's going and all the rest of it. So you're not sort of in the moment anymore. You're thinking about other things. And you can't play cricket like that. You've got to play it. You've got to let instinct take over when the ball starts to come down. So what I'd recommend there is just play without any pressure situation. So instead of having a net, you know, what happens in this country quite a lot, I don't know if it's the same in Australia, is You know, you maybe have your net once a week or twice a week, and then you go and play on a Saturday afternoon, and you never really just enjoy it. You know, you never really go out with some mates and have a knock around with a tennis ball and a cricket bat or whatever. So just go and play some knockabout cricket somewhere, you know, go to the park or play in your back garden with your little brother or, you know, whatever it is. Just do it without any pressure and just enjoy it, and don't worry about technique. Just start thinking again about seeing the ball and hitting the ball, which is the whole point about.
I found out, David, from reading different articles and books, that once a batsman goes out to the middle of the pitch and starts doubting his technique, he's lost his wicket already. So it's really a massive confidence issue there as well.
Yeah, exactly. You can't, when you cross the white line, you can't improve your technique anymore. You've got what you've got.
Yeah.
And all you can do is just go out and say, okay, I know I'm limited in A, B and C. I'm not even going to worry about A, B and C. I'm just going to concentrate on, D, which I know I can do.
Yeah.
You know, if you've got a brilliant cover drive, then, you know, wait for the half volley off outside off stump. Simple as that. And when you see a ball you think you can hit, hit it. And when you see a ball that you think you can't hit, block it. Simple as that, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's easier said than done often, because you start to doubt yourself if you play a miss or something like that, and you worry about, you know, what you've done wrong. But just playing with some mates in the park with a tennis ball and learning that it doesn't really matter, you know, if you get out first ball, you know, so what? You know, it's painful at the time, but you know you'll survive. So yeah, it's a tough one, but work on technique in practice, and then when you get out in the middle, put all of that out of your head, and just remember that the ball is the only thing that's of interest to you, and you don't care about anything else.
Cool. Our next question is from another unknown, and he or she says that I coach a team of 11-year-olds. In the last few games, they have been really struggling with bowling into the wind. The symptoms are wides on both sides of the wicket. They also complain that the 142-gram ball is swinging too much, even when bowling with a cross-seam grip. I've talked to them about maintaining their momentum through the delivery. You can see they're noticeably slowing down as they get to the wicket. Do you have any other tips? Thanks. What are your first thoughts on that, David? Because I'm struggling to think of any ideas.
Well, my initial thought is, I'm not sure how true that is. It sounds like it possibly could be an excuse. We don't know the whole situation there. That's all the information we've got. But if you're holding the ball cross seam, how can it swing? It can't. It cannot swing if you're holding the ball across the seam.
Mm.
Because it's the seam that makes the ball swing. So that's my first question, really, would be, well, hang on a minute, it sounds like they're using, you know, an 11-year-old kid bowls a wide, and you say to them, what happened there? They're not going to think, oh, you know, it was my technique. They're going to start to look to blame the wind, or they look to blame the ball swinging too much.
That's right.
that's natural.
As kids do.
Yeah, exactly. That's natural. And if you're holding it across the seam, it can't swing too much. So I would probably, as a coach, you know, position myself where I could see whether that's happening or not. I would be very sceptical whether the ball is swinging when you're holding it across the seam, and perhaps I would stand, at this batsman's end and watch the kid bowl while they're bowling and see what happens there. So, because I doubt it. Also, the other thing that I'm a bit suspicious about is, why would bowling into the wind make you bowl wides and no balls? I mean, it's hard work bowling into the wind. I've never done it, but you know, I'm a wicketkeeper myself, so I've seen how bowlers can really struggle to get the ball up at any kind of pace when they're bowling into the wind. But in my experience, it doesn't affect accuracy in any way. So I'd look at the overall evidence there. I'd you know, if you've got a game or a practice where you've got one end, they're all bowling straight all the time, and the other end, they're all bowling wides all the time, and the only difference that you could see is that one end is bowling into the wind and the other end isn't, then maybe you'd look at some, try and work something out there. But my initial thought is I'm not sure I believe that. So the next question is, why are they bowling wides all the time? Well, it's going to be the bowling action is going to be causing that. The bowling action is quite a hard thing to learn, and especially at the age of 10 or 11, perhaps it might be your first year playing cricket, and it takes a while to get coordinated enough to get a ball down the other end. So, you know, not everybody can do it straight away. I mean, it's okay if you've been playing since you're 5 years old or whatever, and you know your dad's been coaching you to the proper bowling action since you could walk. But you know, a lot of kids, especially these days, you know, a lot of kids don't do that. They just turn up at practice and they haven't got a clue how to bowl a ball, and it takes a while to learn how to do it properly. So more work on the bowling action. Really, the run up is not so much of a worry. At that age, kids naturally run up anyway, even when you tell them not to. I mean, I coach young kids, and even when you tell them not to, even when we're practicing the bowling action and you say, okay, we're just going to bowl from a standing position, so we're just going to work on the action itself, we're not going to have a run up, you'll find that even then they're desperate to have some kind of, you know, 1-2 step in, and then into it, you know. So I shouldn't worry too much about their run-ups. I would worry more about what's happening when they get to the crease.
Yeah. What I've noticed, David, is with the kids I work with, when they tend to bowl into the wind, it's not really about them struggling. It's their mind that plays tricks on them. So when they run into the wind and it's a lot harder, they tend to lose their action a bit.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to work that little bit harder to get to the wicket as fast as they can. And they tend to forget the right things about the action. So maybe that could be a possibility that leads to those wides and no balls as well.
Yeah, that would make sense. That would make a lot of sense. So yeah, if that's happening, then it's just a matter of focusing them on executing the skill. You know, I talk about this a lot. You know, focus on executing the skill. Don't worry about the extraneous things.
Yeah.
Telling them just to run up and bowl like they would run up and bowl if they were running downhill with the wind. Just do the same thing. Because the bowling action doesn't change whether you're bowling into the wind or with the wind. Only your mindset, as you say, only your mindset changes. So don't do extra effort just because you're bowling into the wind. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter as much. If you bowl a straight ball at the age of 11, if you bowl six straight balls at the age of 11, then you're going to get wickets. Whether you bowl half volleys or long hops or good length balls, it doesn't matter. If they're straight, then there's going to be a percentage of kids at the other end who miss it. And you bowl them at that age. That's always going to happen. And even at, you know, obviously the higher level you go, the more important length is, but for most kids at the age of 11, line is way, way more important than length. As long as you can get the ball down the other end and it bouncing once, then it doesn't matter if you bowl a rank long hop or a rank half volley or a ball which is, you know, perfect line and length. As long as you get the line right, that's the most important thing. And line comes from action.
Yeah, and what one of the coaches in one of our teams used to get us to do was to do our run up on a bit of a hill, so it's harder to get up that hill and then bowl. So it imitates running into the wind and bowling.
Yeah,
it's a lot harder to get up that little hill. So I think that helped us a bit as well.
Yeah, that's a nice variation. I mean, you wouldn't want to do that all the time because there's the problem of stride length, because when you're running up a hill, your stride length is going to be different from when you're running on the flat. So you want to be careful of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a good variation if you want to throw that in to say, right, you know, today we're going to have a session, we're all going to bowl up the hill.
Yeah.
Brilliant. But the action, it really, it's not to do with run-up, it's to do with action. So forget about run-up. Get them with their shoulders aligned correctly in the action. Get them with their, when they release the ball, they've got their hips and their nose facing towards the target, which is the batsman or the stumps. And then when they finish, they're tickling their armpit like a gorilla, as Ian Pott says. If you're doing that, if you're doing those three things, shoulders pointing towards the target as you load up, hips and nose facing towards the ball, the batsman as you release the ball, and then tickling under your armpit like a gorilla when you follow through, then most balls are going to be straight.
Yeah. All right, that looks like that's all the questions we have for today. Let's recap and go back and see what we've looked at. We've looked at getting out LBW, and we've, David and myself have come up with a solution that we should try not to play down the line of the ball with our feet. So try not to get our foot out too early and play the ball naturally. And we've looked at thinking too much about your technique and backlift and trigger movements while batting. And we've come up with a solution that we shouldn't think too much and not try to imitate other players, but try to play our natural game by trusting ourselves and our game.
Yeah, and working on your technique as well. That's important. Do work on your technique, but work on it in one way only. Don't work on it in try and change things every week and have a different backlift every week. Just pick one and go with it.
We also looked at bowling to the wind, and we've decided that we can't make excuses and we should just focus on improving the action of the bowlers and the technique, and that no matter what situation we'd find ourselves in, the action and technique would sustain and hold in the worst of situations. So if you guys have any more questions or queries, please don't hesitate to contact us on mycricketcoach@pitchvision.com. mycricketcoach@pitchvision.com, and also check out the Pitch Vision Academy. So from Australia, Sydney, this is Kevin Sampad signing off.
And this is David Hinchcliffe in the UK.